Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Do you have your Bibles with you? Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and we'll begin there. I know today is Youth Day, and we're excited because God does things in families. He doesn't just call individuals. He calls whole families. And he is not the God of Abraham. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Everybody say he's a generational God. Come on, say it. He's a generational God. So we have to be concerned about the generations. How many of you are concerned about the younger generations? How many of you are in the younger generation and you're concerned about some of your friends and classmates and teammates and things like that? Yes, so we have a job to do. We've got our work cut out for us. But, you know, the Bible says where sin does abound, grace does that much more abound. So, you know, a lie can get a head start, but the truth will always catch up. Amen? Amen. Do you have Isaiah, the 40th chapter? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We praise you once again for another opportunity to gather together in your name. We thank you, Father, for the precious Holy Spirit who leads and guides us into all truth and shows us things to come. We thank you, Father, that we have ears to hear what you're saying to us, eyes to see what you're doing for us. But most of all, we have the grace and the strength not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word, because only the doers of the word are blessed. The word only works when you do it. Help us, oh God, to be like the man that built his house upon the rock. When the rain came, when the flood came, when the wind blew, the house was secure because it was built on the rock. That rock represents your word. That house represents our lives. And as we build on the foundation of your word, even though tests, trials, challenges, issues, drama, trauma comes in life, we'll outlast it because we've built on the foundation of your word. Now, Father, I thank you for the anointing on my life that makes teaching your word easy. We thank you for illustrations and examples to drive the points home. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and let's pick it up at the 27th verse. It says, "What do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Today I'm going to be speaking to you from the subject of be strong. Everybody say, be strong. Now, there are many Christians today that spend a lot of their time praying prayers that God can't answer. They spend their time praying prayers that God cannot answer. Many Christians today don't realize and aren't aware of what God has already done for them and what God has already given to them. So they spend their time praying for things that God has already done. Praying and asking God to give them things he's already given them. A prayer that's prayed, asking God to do something that's already been done, is a prayer that cannot be answered. Actually, it's a prayer that's already been answered. Ephesians 1 and 3, you don't have to turn there, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath," King James says hath, H-A-T-H. We don't say hath these days, do we? We would say who what? Has, H-A-S. Is that what tense is that? Past, present, or future? Who has? That's past. That's something that's already taken place. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So all the blessings that we pray and ask God for, if you really want to be truthful about it, he's already given it to us. I said he's already given it to us. So what do we have to do? We have to learn how to appropriate it. We have to learn how to make it materialize in this realm. Jesus said it's finished. What does that mean? It's done. And he's blessed us with all that we need. And so we have to be careful that we understand what the Bible says and what we already have. And if we understand what we already have, then we can begin to walk in it operate in it, and we can see the victory in our lives that most of us want to see. Do you have, where are you? Isaiah, turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Everybody say, be strong. Come on, say, be strong. Say it again, be strong. The Bible never tells you to pray for strength. Doesn't tell you to pray for strength. We've all prayed for strength, haven't we? Got weak and we said, oh God, let me pray for strength. Give me strength to deal with my husband. Give me strength to deal with my teachers. Give me strength to deal with my coaches. Give me strength to deal with my neighbors. That's a prayer that God can't answer because God already gave you the strength. And I'm going to prove it to you by the word of God. He's already strengthened you. He's already given it to you. So all we have to do is be strong. Come on, somebody say be strong. Listen, young people, I know it's all kind of stuff going on your campus. You know, we talk about things that we deal with as an adult. You know, the devil realizes that his time is winding up, and things that only adults used to deal with, he's now taking those things and downloading them and giving them to children. So you got children who are not emotionally, physically, spiritually, psychologically able, have the ability to deal with these issues. He's putting them on them. So we cannot put our heads in the sand and act like, you know, our children don't know what they're talking about. They do know what they're talking about. They talk about they're stressed out. They probably are stressed out. They talk about they don't know what they're going to do. They don't know what they're going to do. And we cannot sit by and say, well, when I was your age, things have changed. When I was little, we had to buy magazines and look in dirty magazines. You don't look in dirty magazine anymore. You can get right on a computer and look at pornography. The devil has stepped up his game. And if the church doesn't realize that, we're going to lose a whole generation talking about what we dealt with when we were younger. So we got to make it relevant to the young people. We got to give them the word on their level where they can hear it, understand it, and be successful on their campuses. Junior high, elementary, college campuses, junior college campuses, or wherever they go. The word has got to be relevant to them. Do you have Ephesians, the sixth chapter? In the 10th verse, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What does Paul tell the church? He said, what? Be strong. He didn't say pray for strength. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter in the 16th verse says, though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. So according to that scripture, how many men are there? Two. And what are they? Outward and inward. The outward man is perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day. Remember in the beginning, God told Adam and Eve, he said, the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely what? Die. Did they collapse and die immediately? No, they lived. They say Adam lived to be 930 something years old. So what was God talking about? He was talking about spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation from God. Spirits never die. Angels, demons, and your spirit, it will never die. You will live eternally somewhere spiritually. For those of us that have received Jesus Christ, that have been born again, we'll live eternally where? In heaven. Those of us that have not will live eternally where? In hell. So you got the outward man and the inward man. When God says, I'll give you strength, it may not be physical strength that God gives you. It could be spiritual strength. But guess what happens to spiritual strength? It's converted into physical strength. That's why Paul said, then when I'm weak, then I am strong. He said, even the young men, if you look at Isaiah 40, even the young men shall fall and collapse, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He gives your inner man strength, and your inner man energizes your outer man. Everybody say, I'm strong in the Lord. Come on, say it again. I'm strong in the Lord. Say it. I'm not strong in yourself, not strong in your own ability, not strong in your own intellect, not all strong in your own good looks, strong in that. No. You're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How many of you would exchange your strength for God's strength? How many of you would like to exchange your strength for God's strength? I know I would. I know I did. And so have you. So here in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th verse, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, if you look at the word strong or the word strength, this is one of the words. They told you I'm a school teacher. I can't help it. I just can't help it. But you know, words have multiple meanings. If you look up in a dictionary, or look a word up in a dictionary, it might have 3, 4, 5, 6 different meanings. Spell the same, pronounce the same, sound the same, but got multiple meanings. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The word trip. Trip, T-R-I-P, trip. Okay? I can say, oh, me and my wife went away and we had a great trip. What does that mean? Like a vacation, right? Someone could leave something down here. I'm not paying attention. I walk over and I do what? Trip. Is that the same thing as me and my wife going away? No. And then I can say, oh, man, my guy over there, he's a trip. What's that mean? You know, not really, you know, the trip. So it's the same word trip, but three different meanings, right? The word ball has multiple meanings. Could be a small round toy. I bought my son a ball, right? Me and my wife got dressed up. We went to the ball. Was that like a party, like a, you know, like a prom, something like that? A ball, all right? And we can say, man, we just got back from the USC football game. Man, we had a ball. Okay? So words have multiple meanings. So this word strength or the word strong has multiple meanings. One meaning is it means having a lot of physical power. You know, they call it country strong. He ain't never been to the gym, but that rascal's strong. Okay? Country strong. Okay? That's one kind of strength. Strong can also mean like not easily broken or damaged. You know, steel is a strong metal. That's another meaning for the word strong. Another meaning could be having a lot of power or influence. Yeah, you know, so-and-so, they got a real strong personality. That means they get what they want. Okay, so the word strong has multiple meanings. So when we talk about be strong in the Lord, it could be any one of those. If you need physical strength, it could be that. If you need to be able to hold your ground when your friends are tempting you and they're getting ready to leave at lunch and smoke some weed and come back, you need to be strong to be able to say, no, I'm cool on that. I'm trying to get my education. All right, so there's different meanings for the word strong, and then you need to be influential. You need to be able to influence other people to do what they need to do. So when he says be strong, it could be any one of those meanings. But the bottom line is that God has already given us all that we need to be strong. Come on, somebody shout, I'm strong in the Lord. Come on, say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So Paul tells us very simply to just be strong. He doesn't say pray for strength. Does he say pray for strength? He said be strong. Like if my kids are in the back of our car and we're riding down the street and it's late and they just back there playing. You know, sometimes kids can't turn off that play button, so parents got to help them turn it off. You got to help them. I got to help you turn it off. So if I turn around and say be quiet, I don't expect them to start praying, oh, God, give me the ability to help me be quiet. Let me help them stop running my mouth before I get a whooping. No, I expect them to get quiet immediately. Why? Because I said, be quiet. What's the assumption there? They have the ability to be quiet, and they better get quiet. When God says, be strong, what's the assumption? You have the ability to be strong, so you better get strong. Don't act like a wimp. It ain't nothing worse than a Christian acting like a wimp. Everybody say, be strong. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And where we get into trouble is when we try to get strong in what we can do. Because my strength will run out. That's what he said in Isaiah 40. He said, young men will fall and collapse. The Bible says in another place that he calls the young because they're strong. But if you're just operating in normal, natural human strength, at some point that is going to come to an end. And at that point, you will have reached the end of your rope. But when you're strong in the Lord, how many of you know God's strength never ends? So I don't have to worry about burning out because I know God's strength will never end. Everybody say, I'm strong in the Lord. Everybody say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, how can Paul tell us to be strong? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. How can Paul tell me to be strong? Paul doesn't know what I'm going through. Paul wasn't living in these days. Paul didn't have people talking about him on Facebook. Paul didn't have peer pressure at school. How can Paul tell me what, you know, to be strong? He doesn't know my situation or my circumstance. He doesn't know my family life. My dad's not home, or he is home and I wish he wasn't, whatever the case may be. Paul had a personal experience with the strength and the power and the grace of God. Do you have 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter? 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter and the 7th verse. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan. Where did the thorn in the flesh come from? Satan. What does the Bible say? The Bible says there was a messenger given me. There was a thorn in the flesh given me. It was a messenger of Satan. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Satan sent it. All right. Because of the abundance of the revelation. Verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. So Paul prays one time, Lord, help me. God didn't do anything. Paul prays another time, God, help me. Didn't do anything. He prayed again, God, help me. Nothing happened. Paul was praying a prayer that could not be answered. So finally, the light comes on when God speaks to Paul and says in verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, my grace is sufficient for my strength. Now notice he takes out the word grace and puts in the word strength. Two words, same meaning, synonym. I told you I'm a school teacher. Sorry about that. Two words mean the same thing as a synonym. Grace and strength are synonyms. Grace also has multiple meanings. So Paul said, I was in this situation where I was being attacked. I was under attack by Satan himself. And I prayed and I asked the Lord, God, help me. I didn't hear anything. God, help me. I didn't hear anything. God, help me. I didn't hear anything. And then God speaks and says, my grace or my strength is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, the weaker I am, the stronger God's strength is. Anybody in here feel weak? You're a prime candidate for the strength and the power of God. When you feel like you have your own strength, God's not going to fool with you. But when you need God and you need the strength of God, then all of a sudden he's going to show you how to tap into the strength that he's already given you. All right, so let's keep moving. Verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities or in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, and for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I like to read out of a translation of the Bible. It's not actually a translation, it's a paraphrase called the Message Bible. Can I read it to you out of the Message Bible? It says, because of the extravagance of the revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he did, in fact, was to push me to my knees. No danger then in walking around high and mighty. At first, I don't think of it as a gift. I begged God to remove it. Three times I did that, and God told me my grace is sufficient. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating it. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take my limitations in stride, and with good cheer, these limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Anybody got any abusive situations in here? Don't raise your hand. Anybody have any accidents? Anybody have any opposition? Anybody in here had any bad breaks? You can say like Paul, the weaker I get, the stronger I become. The weaker, remember we said there are how many men? How many? Say two. Put up two fingers, say two. Put up two fingers, say two. Some of you asleep. Put up two fingers, say two. Put up two fingers, say two. Some of you are not going to do it. Put up two fingers, say two. Okay, all right, I'm done. All right, put up two fingers and say two. There are two men, outward and inward. He said, when I come weak outwardly, inwardly I'm strong. And what you need is inward strength that will eventually turn into outward strength. So Paul can tell us to be strong because he was in a situation, very desperate situation, and God showed him, you're already strong. Quit praying that prayer, Paul. Quit praying it. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, okay, if that's the case, let me just go ahead and praise God in the midst of this because I know God's strength is going to bring me through. So we must be strong. Now, B is a big word. B is a small word that packs a big punch. B, B-E, capital B, lowercase e, capital B. Capital E. B. Everybody say B. B is the word behind all of creation. B is a word that makes things happen. B is a word that causes what's inside to come out. Let's look at the beginning. In Genesis, God said, let there be light in darkness. In other words, you can flip it around and you can say, God said light, light, light be. Good. God said light be, and light was. Where did the light come from? It came from God. The Bible says God is light, right? Mm-hmm. It was in him. It was in him. What caused what was in God to come out? God didn't look around and say, doggone, it's dark out here. It's pitch black, man. I can't even see my hand in front of my face. Woo! It's hot. Man, it's dark out here. That's what we do, huh? We talk about how bad it is. Man, I don't feel so good, man. I'm so sick. I mean, it's so doggone. I'm so sick like a dog, man. Just low sick. I'm just sick. I don't know what to do. My head hurt. My back hurt. We just talk about things we should not be talking about. God didn't talk about darkness. God said, light be. And light was. Ah, yeah, I hear you. I hear you thinking. You're saying, yeah, but that's God. Well, if you turn over to Matthew, the 11th chapter, there was this tree. And Jesus was hungry, and he went over to this tree. And there was no fruit on it. And Jesus said, you will never produce fruit again. The Bible says the disciples heard it. The next day they come by, and the tree was dead, shriveled up from the roots. This is Mark 11. Write that down. You can read it when you get home. Mark 11. Shriveled up from the roots. And Peter says, look at the tree you cursed yesterday. It shriveled up from the roots. And Jesus said, have faith in God. In other words, they were marveling because Jesus did that. Jesus didn't say, you know why I did this? Because I'm the anointed Son of God. I'm Christ. I'm the one that's been before you even got here. I'm the creator and the sustainer of all you can see. Peter, don't you understand who I am? That wasn't Jesus' response to Peter. He said, Peter, have faith in God. And then he said these words. He said, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed. What? Be thou removed. There it is again. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. We shouldn't be talking about how big mountains are in our lives. We should be speaking to that mountain and say, be removed. Everybody say be. So God said, light be. Jesus said, say to the mountain, be thou removed. You remember when the disciples were in the boat going across the water and a storm came up? Water was coming inside the boat. The waves were blowing. I mean, it was a mess. And they were out there and they thought they were going to die. And they woke up Jesus and said, Jesus, don't you care? Are you going to let us drown? Don't you care? And Jesus got up and he said, peace. He said, peace, be still. There was a woman who was sick. She came to Jesus. He laid his hands on her and said, be healed. Be is a big word. It unleashes the creative power of God. So when we say be strong, it unleashes the strength. So we don't need anybody to help us in our misery. Man, you know I lost my job. Oh, man, you lost your job. What are you going to do? How are you going to pay your bills? You got kids. You got a wife. I don't need friends like that. This is everything I already thought about. When I lost my job, I already thought about that. So when I come to you and I say I lost my job, I need you to say, be strong. I need you to say, be still. I need you to say, be whole. I need you to say B. Everybody say B. So B is a small word that packs a big punch. B is the word behind all of creation. It's the word that makes things happen. It's a word that brings what's inside out. It's a word that created light and darkness. It's a word that brought healing to a sick scene. It's a word that caused peace to come on a storm-tossed sea. Whatever your life is not, you need to tell it to be. Everybody say be. You ain't got no money, say money be. Yeah, you feeling me on that one, huh? Huh? You ain't got no money, you say money be. You have no peace in your home, say peace be. You got sickness, pain, soreness, swelling in your body, healing be. Don't sit back and take it. You feel weak, you say strength be. Everybody say be. So let's look at what Joshua did. I'm almost done. Joshua 1, verse 6. Young people, don't sit up there and take it. Oh, man, all my friends are doing it. No. If you got to be the Lone Ranger, be the Lone Ranger. If you got to go by yourself, go by yourself. I know what it's like to feel ostracized because you're making a stand for the Lord. I know what it's like to be teased and talked about because you won't do what everyone else does. I know what it's like to feel like you're missing out, but then go to some of the things you shouldn't be going to and feel like a fish out of water. I know what it's like. Just say yes to God and just stay home. Because you don't even feel comfortable at the party. You don't even feel comfortable at the club. You don't feel comfortable. Don't even go. Take a righteous stand for God and watch him raise you up. And the same ones that laugh at you and tease you on your campuses, they'll be the same one coming to you. Can you pray? My mom, you know, she's been tripping lately. Can you pray? My dad, you know, he left us. Can you pray? You know, my mom got a bad report from the doctor. Can you pray? You know, my grandmother comes and live with us. Can you pray? Whatever the case may be, they'll come to you if you take a righteous stand. But young people, you can't do what they do and expect to have a different result. If you're going to be a Christian, you got to stand up and live for Christ. If not, then don't. That's not just for young people. That's for everybody. That's for the saints, the sinners, everybody. Do what you do. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be gray. Be white or black, hot or cold, in or out, on or off. Make a decision for the Lord. Let's look at Joshua, the first chapter. Let's pick it up at the sixth verse. Joshua, the first chapter and the sixth verse. It says what? It says, be strong and of what? Good courage. Now, let me ask you a question. Is this Old Testament or New Testament? Had Jesus come yet? Was Joshua righteous or unrighteous? Unrighteous, because Jesus hadn't come. Righteousness comes by Jesus, right? So he did everything he could do, but he wasn't. Was he saved or unsaved? Was he born again or not born again? He wasn't born again. He wasn't saved. He wasn't in the family of God. He served God, but he wasn't the son of God because Jesus hadn't come, right? You agree with me on that? The only way we get to the Father is through Jesus. Jesus hadn't come yet. So Joshua was kind of like on the outside looking in. He did the best he could, and God received him, and God blessed him, and then, you know, he ended up getting in because Jesus went back and preached to them, kind of like he kind of got salvation on credit. You know how credit works, right? You know how credit works? Yeah, salvation on credit. You know, when you have a credit card, they give you the goods up front, and then you pay for it. Right? They trust you to pay for it. Well, Joshua got salvation on credit. Jesus was going to come. God said, I know he's going to pay the price for your sin, so I'm going to just give it to you. But he wasn't saved. And God told him, be strong. So if God can tell Joshua in the Old Testament to be strong, surely we should be able to be strong like Joshua was strong. Don't you agree? Okay. All right. Verse 6 says what? Be strong and of good courage. Verse 7 says what? Only be strong and very courageous. Verse 8 says what? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night that you may observe to do all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. Verse 9. For have I not commanded you? What is a commandment? What is a commandment? It's a suggestion if you feel like it. A commandment is like an order. Anybody in here been in the military? You know, they don't give suggestions to the military. If you feel like fighting today, go ahead and fight. If not, you can just stay back in your bed. No, they're giving orders. We rolling out. 2 a.m., 10 a.m., we just got back. We don't care. Get your gun and go. Let's go. This is the army. How many of you know we're in the Lord's army? We don't call the shots in the Lord's army. When God gives us a commandment, what do? We roll out. We get up out the bed and we do what God has told us to do. All right? So we see here that God has told us to meditate day and night on the word of God. Look at verse 9. It says, have I not commanded you? What? Be strong. Now, why did God tell Joshua the same thing three times in almost four verses? What was that? Verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. Why did he say be strong three times in four verses? Why do you tell your children three times in 1 second? Yeah, their heads are hard. You must have got kids on. Yeah, because their heads are hard. He said, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Why did he tell Joshua that over and over and over and over again? Because he knew Joshua's tendency was to what? Not be strong. So he tells him over and over and over and over again. So we have to understand that God wants us to be strong, and he's willing to tell us that over and over and over and over again. So what must we do? First thing we must do, we must say that we're strong. Words, I don't care what you say. Words have power. I don't care what you've heard. Words have power. Right now, some of you in here, I don't care how old are you, you are suffering from words that have been said to you. Maybe you're a woman and your husband was verbally abusive. You can't convince that woman that those words he said didn't have power. Maybe you're a child and your parents berated you as a child. All you heard growing up was what you wouldn't do and how horrible you are. And what you can't tell me that child as a 20, 30, 40 year old adult, you can't tell me that those words did not affect that child. I don't care what you say. Words have power. And when people speak words over you, if you do not counteract the words that are being spoken over you, if they're negative, they will impact your life. I don't care what you say. Very rarely do you see people rise to the top that have had negative words spoken over them. I know in my own life, I've had coaches and teachers in my life that have spoken words over me. When I didn't believe in myself, they said, you can do it. And those words caused me to believe that I could do it. And then I went out and I did it. Some of you in here today, you were on the wrong path. Someone pulled you to the side and spoke words to you. Said, if you don't get yourself together right now. And you got yourself together and look at you now. Don't tell me words don't have power. So the first thing you got to do in being strong is say it. I'm strong. Come on, shout it. I'm strong. Some of you can't even do it, but I'm weak. You don't understand. You got two men. I just told you that, inner and outer. I'm not talking about outer man. I'm talking about inner man. And the inner man affects the outer man. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Seemed like he's talking out of the side of his neck. What is he saying? I might be weak in the flesh, in physical, but spiritually I'm strong. And what is spiritual will eventually override what is natural. Everybody say, I'm strong. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I'm weak, right? Isn't that what we sing? And now let the weak say, I am weak. Is that what we sing? Is that what we sing? Let the poor say, I am poor. Is that what we sing? No. Why is the weak saying I'm strong? Because something happens when you say those words out of your mouth. According to the word of God, I'm strong. According to the word of God, I'm rich. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, chapter the 9th verse, Jesus who was made poor, that through his poverty, we could become rich. Everybody say, I'm rich. Everybody say, I'm full. Everybody say, I'm strong. So we got to say it out of our mouths. The Bible says in Luke, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You remember the temptation of Jesus, right? John Baptist comes around, baptizes Jesus in the River Jordan. Holy Ghost comes down on him like a dove, drives him into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Didn't eat a thing. Hadn't eaten a thing for 40 days and for 40 nights. Here comes Satan trying to tempt him. And what did Jesus say? It is written. He spoke the word. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And eventually the devil left him. Why? Because Jesus spoke the word. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to speak the word in order to resist the enemy, you and I must also speak the word of God. But you can't speak the word of God if you don't know the word of God. And that's real talk. So get off the, what they call it, farm. What they feeding them? They still feeding them farm animals? They still doing that? Y'all still feeding farm animals? What's it called? Farmville? What is it? Act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? Feeding farm animals on the internet? Farmville. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See, I got one witness. Can I get a witness? I got a witness. Farmville. They go on there and feed animals. Get off Farmville. Get off Facebook. Get off Twitter. Get off all that mess and get in the Word of God. Farmville. Act like they didn't know I'm feeding them farm animals. All right, they were talking about real farm animals? No, on the internet, Farmville. All right, so everybody say, I'm strong. Why do we do this? Because the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then once I say I'm strong, and then I can stand strong. Everybody say strong, stand strong. Say it again, say strong, stand strong. I want you to go home tonight and get in your concordance. Look at the back of your Bible. Go on your favorite Bible website or whatever you like to do and put the word strength and strong in there and see how many scriptures it pulls up on that. And then begin to say those things about yourself. Don't wait till you see it to say it. Say it and then you'll see it. God didn't wait to see light before he said light. God said light and then he saw light. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 11th verse, it says, Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said, be strong, put on the armor, stand. Be strong, put on the armor, and stand. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Look at your neighbor person sitting next to you and say, you are not my problem. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Once I'm strong, then I have to stand. Well, how do I do that? You just stand. When the devil brings something to you that you're not going to make it, what do you say? I'm going to make it because I'm more than a conqueror. Just like when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he didn't just come up with his suggestion, his own opinion, what he thought, what he felt. He said, it is written. In your life, when you have temptations, when you have drama, when you have trauma. Anybody have any drama in their life? I know you do. Anybody got trauma in their life? I know you do. Anybody got temptation in your life? I know. Don't even put your hand up. I already know. That's why you're here today. Not because you're perfect, because you need some help. And the word of God is the help that we need. So the more of the word I know, the more help I can receive, the more help that I can get. So he said, if I stand, if I say strong, then I can stand strong. And I'm here to tell you that the devil cannot sustain an attack. He cannot sustain it. He doesn't have the wherewithal. He got to give up. He's not all powerful like some people think he is. He's not. He's a spiritually dead spirit. He's a fallen angel with no power or authority of his own. You know what? This is incredible. Listen to this. The devil has no power of his own. That's why he needs you. You got God on the left hand or God on the right hand, the devil on the left. They're both trying to use you. You're gonna say yes to one or the other, and you're gonna yield to one or the other. I'm my own man. You just yielded to the enemy. Jesus said, deny yourself. So if you think for one moment that you can stand on your own without the Lord, you cannot. If you think for one moment that God will not help you stand, then you are wrong. God, I got this one. God, you take the big stuff. I got the little stuff. No. We cast it all on him. He cares. Everybody say, God cares. Say, he cares for me. Say, God cares for me. God cares for us. He will strengthen us. He has strengthened us. All we have to do is say strength and stand strong. Whether it be on our campuses, whether it be on our jobs, whether it be in our homes, in our communities, it doesn't matter. All we have to do is say strong and stand strong. But the key is saying strong. You know, how do you go from being single to being married? You do what? You say something, don't you? Don't you? Don't you go from being single to being married by saying something? How do you get into the military? By saying something? You say a sworn oath. You say some words. I will never leave you. You're the only woman I'll ever love. And the two become one. So words are strong, words are powerful. Let's not discount them. We see them all over the place. You see a billboard that says something. You go home, make a phone call based on what you saw on that billboard. Oh, let me call that number. See, that's real. Man, you heard about this new restaurant in town? You go over there, spend your money, go over there. You don't know. They could be in the back cooking with poison just based on what someone told you. You're going to go try it out, aren't you? Words are powerful. So we got to tap the power of words and use them to work for us and not against us. At school, when you walk on your school campuses, you got to declare, Father, I think I got enough strength to be able to not only stand and resist temptation on BHS campus, but I'm going to be a light to shine and cause some of this darkness to get up out of here. Not just average, but above average. So I wanted to encourage you today, young people and everyone here, that, you know, You know, we think that things are going to get better. There's an election coming up. And, you know, I pray for Obama. And, you know, he's the president. I understand all that. And I'm not political or anything like that. But I didn't trust in Reagan. I don't trust in Clinton. I don't trust in either one of the Bushes. Don't trust in Obama. Don't trust in none of them cats. I want to trust in the Lord. So whoever's in office, I'm going to be all right. Because as far as I'm concerned, God is still on the throne. And I look to God to strengthen me. I look to God to bless. I look to God to give me favor, to give me wisdom, to give me everything that I need. That's who I look to. I pray for those that are in authority. I pray for mayors, and I understand all that. But when it's all said and done, I'm not trusting in them, because the strength I need and the power that I need is not coming from them. It's coming from God the Father. Amen? Amen. I do my right. I vote. I do all that stuff. But when it's all said and done, man. President Obama, if I'm sitting down, President Obama walks in here, I'm going to get up out of honor for the position and everything, or whoever the president is, I will get up, you know, to honor the man, honor the office. But if Jesus walk in here, I'm going low. I'm flat on my face before him. I'm not flat on my face before Obama or Clinton or whoever's the president. Democrat, they don't make me a bit of difference. I'm all right either way, because God said he would take care of me. Amen? Everybody say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. I'm done. Praise God. Yes. Amen. Can I pray for him? Can I pray? Can I pray? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we just thank you. We praise you that you are undeniably on our side. You want what's best for us, and you have already provided all that we need. We thank you, Father, for your strength, which we exchange for our strength. We thank you for your wisdom, which we exchange for our wisdom. We thank you for your peace, which we exchange for our peace. We give you our peace. We give you our wisdom. We give you our strength. And God, you have already flooded our lives with all that we need to be able to operate and to be victorious in life. We thank you, Father, that we may have not been as diligent in speaking the words that we should speak. We may have been talking about weakness, but Father, from this day forward, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is going to help us speak the words that you want us to speak. Be vigilant and diligent and focused on speaking the words that are going to bring life to our lives. We thank you that we're strong in you. We thank you, Father, that you are causing us not only to be strengthened, but in turn to help someone else receive the strength that you have already provided. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.